This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another The Home episode of The Podcast. What's up, it's your boy, E-Ted Smith. Oh, I'm almost going to the old routine. I'm always the host of this here podcast. All right, now to the left of me today on the Zoom call is Cobb. He's not below me. What's going on, Cobb?
What's happening, everybody? Happy summer is finally here. Let's do this.
Summer has arrived, man. It is rocking and rolling. All right, over there we got MCTV doing all the recording. Matt Conner, the producer. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Ted.
That's funny. I was going to start with that. Summer has officially arrived.
God, finally, right? It's about time.
Yeah. And Cobb knows this already, but I was down at his stopping grounds down in Madison Beach on Sunday. It was just, number one, it was just nice to be sitting there by a lake. I was not at the beach. I was over at a shady outdoor patio having a beverage. But, man, just sitting there and watching people walk up and down from the beach and see some of the scenery, if you will, when the weather gets a little warmer.
A lot of skin out there.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know we disagree on this, but I think for whatever reason, like, I think everybody looks attractive in bathing suits.
Like, I feel like, especially, yeah, after a long winter in Seattle.
Yeah, it's like even people that aren't in the best of shape, I'm like, I don't know. They seem like they're in better shape. If they had a shirt on, I think they'd be hiding something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like in school, there was skirt day. In the spring, it's like the first day that I don't know if like all the girls are on like a group text message or email chain or whatever, but for whatever reason, when that weather turns over to spring, like on the same day every year, every single girl on campus wears a skirt. And I feel like it's like that. You're just like, the system is overwhelmed. You know what I mean? Everyone's been wearing like jean jackets and, you know, like long pants for so many months that, yeah, it just hits the system.
It's also funny that, like, in Seattle, like, sitting there just watching people go to and from the beach, there's different beach guys, right? There's, yeah. there's typical Seattle guy who's just dressed in all black and I guess is, like, just going to sit in the beach in, like, a hoodie and black shorts. Like, all right.
Pale skin, couple tattoos. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Then there's, like, super beach guy where I'm like, I don't know where you've been all year, but he's got, like, blonde hair. He's already ridiculously tanned.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got cool glasses.
Yeah, he rolls down. He's just in his bathing suit. Like, there's no shirt. There's no shoes. Of course, he's just natural walking on concrete. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, and the guy looks like he lives at the beach.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know how he got this tan already, but he is, and I respect it.
He's got that wavy hair. He's got, like, a cool beach towel. Usually, like, a couple beach implements, you know, whether it's, like, what's that game called? Like a spike ball setup or a paddle board or like, yeah. He looks like a natural. Maybe a volleyball.
Like the one guy that we saw, like, he didn't even have anything with him. And I just looked at my buddy Sean. I go, that's beach guy. Like, I don't know if he lives around here, but like, he's tan, he's got blonde hair. Like, somebody's going to invite him to hang out. Like, he doesn't care.
Dude, I feel like they're importing these people from California at some point. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, he really is like dialed in archetypal beach guy.
It was also funny. You talk about having games. A group of like five dudes walk by and they're carrying like wood cornhole bowls or boards. And I was like, man, good for them. And then, like, not that it mattered to me, but like a dagger in the heart, like 10 minutes later, we saw them walking back up because the beach was that crowded. And I was like, oh man, they had no room for their cornhole. It was all like painted for Boomer Sooner, big Oklahoma fan. So I was like, man, we got to let the Boomer Sooner guys get in on the beach. All right, that brings me to my first topic today. Now, Matt, I feel like you're the only one that might have a little, like, you all right there, Kyle?
Yeah, sorry, I was having some audio issues with my headphones, but I just turned them off. We're good.
Matt, you might be the only one split on this, but let's say money's no option. What do you own, a lake house or a beach house?
Oh, man. Dude, I mean, I grew up on the beach. I've always loved the beach. I don't want to sit in a lake house and be like, I wish I had a beach house, though. So I got to just be grateful for what I have and say lake house.
Well, and for people who don't know, Matt's literally at a mansion on a lake right now.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, but there's a waterfall. That's an official mansion.
Try and keep it pretty modest. But yeah, I mean, Cobb's been here, so I can't argue.
Well, let's take that out of it. I'm saying you can have one that you're going to buy. What would it be?
It would be a beach house, just because but you're talking about like in a place, it's less about beach over lake, because I really do have a better appreciation for like the Northwest style of lakes versus Southern California beaches now. But if all other things were out the window, I'd live on the beach, because the places with beach houses have nicer weather all year round. Like,
well, all right, but you got to back up, like take Southern California, like where you grew up, out of it. Like, I'm talking more of like on the East Coast, people have beach houses where it's obviously still freaking freezing in the wintertime in Ocean City, Maryland, or the Delaware beaches, or like the Jersey Shore. So just an overall, like, lake. Let me put it to you this way. Like, I prefer fresh water over salt water.
Okay. I prefer salt water. I love fresh water, and living here, that's what I get. But every time I go to Southern California or Hawaii and I get in the Pacific Ocean again, it's like, God damn, this, you just can't beat this.
Cobb, where are you at? Lake house?
Dude, weirdly, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I would probably go lake, but what I'm more interested in, Ted, is if you went beach house, would you go West Coast or East Coast? Are you going Ocean City, Maryland? Or are you going Pacific Northwest?
I mean, so that's part of it. To me, if you have a beach house, like, generally they're smaller. And then also, like, we used to go to the beach all the time and rent places. I am thinking of East Coast beaches. That's where I would go. But, like, it's more about hanging out in that town than it is going to the beach. Whereas, like, you rent a lake house, like, and I'll take Deep Creek Lake. Let's take the West Coast lakes out of it. But, like, I have more fun in a lake. Whereas, like, when you go to the beach house, and, like, Cobb, you know, you've been to the Jersey Shore, I think.
Yeah,
like, you hang out in the house, and like, you hang out in town and bars and stuff in the city, but you rarely, like, I went for plenty of weekends where I never stepped foot on the beach.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about like I feel like the lake itself is more fun, but the town of the ocean is better. And so for that, I feel like, I don't know, man, I almost, yeah, I'm torn. I mean, it depends on if you have your fun on land or in water, really, at the end of the day. You know, if you like to cruise around the town, have a couple cocktails, like Put-in Bay is a really good example. It's up on the Great Lakes, you know, just north of Ohio. And it's dope. Crazy town, longest bar in America. But, like, you're not going in the water.
Yeah, all right. I guess I see what you're saying. I don't know. I saw this article. I was like, man, that's a great conversation. It's like, beach houses are generally smaller. And then, like, when you're on the beach, like, wherever you're at on the beach, like, it's crowded. I mean, unless you're like in the Outer Banks, but at that point, you're so far away from stuff. You might as well just have a lake house. I feel like lake houses are bigger. First of all, there's no riptides. There's no sharks. There's no freaking jellyfish.
That's all true. The other thing about a lake house is I feel like whoever you're there with is who you're there with. Like, you're only there with the people you brought with you versus like with a beach house, you know, you might meet some people in town or whatever to hang with. So I kind of like that about the lake house.
Right. And again, we got to take out like the Northwest is the one place where people actually like met, like living on a lake. But I'm just, it was just kind of talking like in general, like if you had either or, it's like a late night conversation. You're having a few drinks. Like, what would you rather have? I'm like, man, I think I'm going lake every day of the week.
Well, I'm still like, you're talking about beach houses. I mean, maybe I didn't read the article, but the fact that it's like beach houses, except for Southern California, to me, like that's the prime time, like beach houses.
No. I was just saying, take Southern California out of it, as in like it's beach house or lake house. You're not guaranteed to have perfect warm weather all year round.
Okay. I'd take the lake.
Hawaii and Southern California matter pretty specific climates and beaches.
If it's like a beach where people don't swim, sign me up for the lake every time.
Now, well, my man is trying to ask you this: shitty lake or shitty beach?
I mean, I guess you're right. My mind went to East Coast. I guess to me, I'm just like, man, I don't know. Like, if somebody said, like, look, the ocean has waves. But other than that, I'm like, I don't know what the huge selling point is as opposed to like chilling. And I feel like when I'm in a lake house, I spend much more time in the water.
That's true. You know, the only other case I would make for the ocean is like the sound of the ocean is better than the sound of the lake. And beachcombing is pretty fun. Sandcastles, you know, classic. But yeah, I'm with you. Waves is pretty much the only major advantage. Probably better sunsets.
That's very true, right? Because you can see it either like on the East Coast, you can see it come out of the water. On the West Coast, you can see it sink into the water.
Yeah.
Man, I thought this was a fire topic. I thought you boys would be all riled up about this one. You guys are like, yeah, whatever. Lake,
dude, it's always tough to pick the ones that are going to be hitters, man. That's how I feel with the Cobb topic in the emails. Like ones that are a throwaway that I came up with like 10 seconds before we turn on the microphones are always the bangers that we get like 20 emails about. And then ones that I just have been thinking about for 3 weeks just fall flat. So you never know.
I was so excited. Like, I emailed myself this article yesterday. I was like, I'm a day ahead on this MFR. Like, it is on, boys.
Yeah, usually you have three topics, and this week you're like, just one, man. We're going to cruise for an hour on this.
I mean, I have a couple more, and I was like, oh, Matt's going to have a ton of this. He grew up in both. He's like, well, it's warmer there. Like, God damn it. All right, take that out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know what I'd like is in your little journal, you have your notes that you have like a couple, basically like those little do not break in case of emergency pages that you just like flip to when you're out of topics, like CIA black sites. What do you guys think? Friend or foe?
Or just throw out like softball lob questions that can go on all night. So, God, is he real? Do you believe in him? Is it a her? Is it a deity?
Noah's Ark, fact or fiction? Yeah.
No, but right, I get it, right? My mind just went to either like Deep Creek Lake in Maryland or Ocean City. And I get it. Like, my uncle lives in Cape Cod, right? He lives basically at the beach. But he goes down, my Uncle Phil, him and his kids, They go to Ocean City every year because when he was a kid, they went to Ocean City. That's what he loves. You go, you know, you go to the ice. I forget what ice cream place they go to, but I know you got to get donuts at the Fractured Prune. You know, get a pizza at the Dough Roller.
Is this the guy who lives in Sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
But yeah,
Sandwich.
You're familiar with the Cape. So that's the dad of the Cape Cod Smiths.
Yeah, man. The weirdest part about Cape Cod is the Christmas tree store. I've never understood it, but there's like a little miniature chain for people who don't know. I wouldn't even go so far as to call it a regional chain. It's like maybe like 6 to 12 of these things. And it's called the Christmas Tree Store. And what they sell the other 364 days of the year, I can't tell you, but they're always busy. The parking lots are packed.
When I was a kid, I thought that place was amazing.
There you go.
Would you go there any time of year?
Yeah, we would go up there. We would go up there and get a house like in the summertime. My grandma would rent one on Cape Cod. And that was like a big part. Like one day you had to go to the Christmas tree. Oh yeah. The Christmas tree shops. Yeah. There's three of them.
Oh, there's three. Okay. Yeah. They're like very prominent. I know one's like right as you cross the bridge to get out there.
Ooh, Cobb, they've added stuff though. Now it's Christmas tree shops and that.
And that? What does that mean?
I think it's like Bed Bath and Beyond. Like, you know, the Beyond part was always like, could be anything. So I feel like that part of that is like, well, also it appears
local ghetto version.
It appears that my cousins are just following these stores. There's one in Sandwich and there's one in Hyannis. And if people don't know, you can always go, go to the Smith Family Popcorn Shop in Hyannis.
Is Hyannis the same as Hyannisport or no?
I don't think so, only because they separate Sanum.
All right.
It's got to be like, I don't know, like Seattle, like just like Hyannisport's probably like South Hyannis or something, like directly on the water.
Dude, this would probably get us killed saying out there, but I just don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, that's funny you brought that up. Yes, I mean, right. Some people just like going, and when I was a kid, like, I'm telling you, the last few times I've been in the beach, I've never been in the ocean. I don't know. I'm going full team lake house. That's all you need to know. Probably a hot tub, too. That should be involved. With running water, like Matt likes.
Shots fired.
Do you think it's possible to be like cocky and humble at the same time?
Wow, that's an interesting question, Ted Smith.
While you're thinking, the example I give is Patrick Mahomes. Like every time I see him interviewed now, like he's very humble, but yet he kind of throws in some very cocky stuff. Just like, well, yeah, I mean, of course I want to win 5 Super Bowls. I want to be the best ever, but I'm just very respectful of people that done it already. And so I'm just like, man, he is pulling off that thin line of cocky, but humble.
Yeah. I think I would think of it more as like confidence than being cocky. I think it's possible for people to be confident and humble, but I don't know that there's a world that can coexist with cocky and humble. I don't know. What do you think, Ted?
That's what I'm saying. When you watch his interviews, now that I've put it in your head a little bit, like you're gonna notice, like, man, he is kind of cocky, but he's like smiling. He's a young guy, like, you know what I mean? Like he says the right things, but if you listen to what he's saying, you're like, that's kind of cocky.
Mattes,
I sometimes when you said that, I think there's elements. I think like. Confidence is kind of the middle ground of those, because like I always wonder what the difference between like cocky and confidence is, and it's probably one of those things that like it's in the eye of the beholder, but I think that's like the difference between cocky and confident is confidence comes with some humility, but also like, yeah, knowing if you're Patrick Mahomes, like you're gonna be able to do these things and like moving towards it, like I think that's kind of the middle ground of those two to me is confidence.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes too, it's just a matter of if you win.
Yeah. I think that makes a big difference. Like it always looks bad when somebody runs their mouth and then loses, especially in the fight game, but also in football or basketball.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, right. Like if you just say, hey, you know, we're doing this or that, but you're on a terrible team. Like sometimes like, why is that guy so cocky? And there's always going to be the extremes of cocky, right? Like trash talking or telling somebody they ain't, you know, they ain't shit. And then you get burned for 2 touchdowns. Like there's always going to be that part that just is cocky. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes that thin line is just like, well, if you're winning, the stuff you say just sounds confidence and you got to have confidence. But
yeah. And I think part of that's like putting the cart before the horse too, you know, like you don't want to go into it being like, I don't know. They seem pretty good. Maybe they'll beat us. Like, I mean, part of that, when I think of it in terms of the fight game, like obviously you're trying to sell the fight, but also like, do you really want a quarterback who thinks he's going to lose or who thinks he's not chosen by God to score touchdowns? You know, like, no, you want somebody who like psychologically is fully convinced that there is like a deity above on his side that loves football and loves him winning specifically. So, you know, I think it's part and parcel. I think it comes with the territory. I mean, if you're going to have an athlete that's on the levels that we're talking about here, then, you know, it's going to be pretty tough for them to genuinely be humble. I think a lot of guys at the NFL especially try to play that card. And for me, it seems pretty translucent, but I think, you know, some fans get on board and really appreciate it. I could give some examples, but I won't. But, you know, at that level, I mean, yeah, they're one of the most elite football players in the world. So, you know, there's going to be some cogginess that goes along with that, I think. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think George St. Pierre, too. Like, I remember, like, a lot of people liked him because he was one of the first fighters to ever just come out and be honest and be like, he, like, yeah, I'm scared. Like, when that cage door closes, right? And I think that kind of rocked people's worlds because you're always supposed to be like, I'm this MMA fighter. Like, I'm going in there. Like, nothing's going to stop me. But it's also just being a human, right? Like, you know, if you go through life with no fear at all, like, I just feel like you're going to be dead soon. Fear is a natural reaction. It's why when you hear giant noises, you get kind of scared because it reminds your body of a giant animal when you were living in, you know, in the forest, in the cabin.
Yeah, or the converse of that is like if you live your whole life with no fear, then either you're going to die young, you know, you're going to take some crazy chances, which I think we all know those berserkers. You know, we've all met a couple in our lives who take like outsized risks. But then the flip side of that is like people who take no risk whatsoever their whole life. And like, you know, what kind of life is that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like golf, right? You don't got to risk it every time, but you don't want to be the guy that lays up.
Exactly. It's a tough line to walk.
Maybe Phil Mickelson putting from 100 yards out or whatever.
Yeah, that was insane. What a weekend. Did you watch this time, Ted?
I turned it on just enough to see him kind of not ripping on him, but just like, okay, he putted from 70 yards away.
Yeah, he putted, then he got closer and he chipped. Like, I don't know. But I love Phil Mickelson. He's just a fun character. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Instagram. Yeah, he's just a personality.
Yeah, for sure. So that was the Patrick Mahomes thing I was looking at. And I was like, trust me, next time anybody listens to this podcast, next time you watch Patrick Mahomes, it's not a bad thing. You'll just be like, he is kind of cocky. You know, like we were saying, there's always the extreme example of what's his name? Who's the idiot from Ireland? Conor McGregor, who is that cocky. And then there's also guys that are just always like, you know, like Belichick, or like, I just don't think we're going to win this. You know, like, we're just going to move on to the next week. Like, some of those people too, like, I have no chance here. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
I will say the fight game's been a little bit different now too, man. I feel like the COVID stuff, people don't have full training camps and this and that. Like, there's been some bigger upsets than I expected.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, Fight Island, you know, it's thrown off. The big thing it's thrown off for people is their weight loss. You know, I mean, a lot of those guys, you get to those elite levels and those guys are cutting 25 pounds to get down to that weight. And for people who haven't done it, that's a lot, especially if you're 165 pounds soaking wet. So that's a huge amount of weight to lose. And especially now, you know, so for people who don't know, they're fighting on a small island. Ted, what did we decide? Was it outside of Abu Dhabi?
I think
I remember it was in the United Arab Emirates.
Right. I kept saying it was Abu Dhabi. And then I think we figured out Abu Dhabi is just a city in the United.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So yes, it's an island off the coast of that. They're calling Fight Island. They're flying fighters in, obviously. And then, you know, it's full quarantine lockdown. So they don't have access to a lot of their usual tools as far as nutrition and dropping weight and whatever else. So Ted, my guess with some of those upsets, I mean, one, I feel like unfavorable conditions always favor the underdog. I always give the underdog more of a chance. You think about when Oregon was a football powerhouse, you know, I want that turf to be wet and slippery when they're playing the University of Washington, because then maybe somebody fumbles, something happens, and UW gets a break. Versus perfect conditions, you know, the odds say that the better team is going to win. So for underdogs, I think it's great. But then, yeah, you talk about cutting that much weight. You lose a lot of energy when you cut weight, especially when you do it without a sauna or you do it improperly. And so I think that's why we're seeing some of these upsets, is guys go in there with a lot less strength than they planned on having, a lot less fluid, you know, surrounding their brain. And yeah, you know, they're more dehydrated. And if you're going three rounds in a professional cage match, and these are 5-minute rounds, so it's incredibly draining, or even worse, a championship match, and you're going, you know, five rounds. I mean, it's definitely in some elite level cardio to get there. Notwithstanding all the, you know, other pieces of it. So yeah, I'm not surprised there's upsets.
And when you get there, you got to quarantine for a couple of days. So imagine your weight cut usually involves like, what, a week and a half out, probably a week, which is like saunas, like exercise bikes, like going on long runs, like this and that. But now all of a sudden, you're just in a hotel room. Now, granted, I'm sure it's a nice hotel room, but like, it's, to me, it just seems much harder to run 4 miles in place than it would to go out on the road and run 4 miles.
Oh yeah, you're in there doing a prison workout with towels strapped over the door doing pull-ups. You're not at like a world-class gym, you know, with four people helping you train.
Yeah, and the sauna is just a huge deal for those, you know. You lose that sauna, it's like, man, that's the cheat code.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, there's been a big push within that industry to get rid of weight cuts, but it's really tough to actually find out what someone's natural walking around weight is unless they're having to weigh these guys, like, you know, every week, which would be brutal. But the main main controversy is just that there's cerebral spinal fluid at the top of your spine, and then some fluid surrounding your brain, and when you do a major weight cut, that goes away, and it kind of acts like a little airbag in there when you get punched in the face, basically. So it puts these guys in danger.
I think there's a middle ground between, like, people are always going to cut weight, but you're right. I mean, there's some dudes, like Anderson Silva was famous for like walking around at like 210, but he fought at 185.
Yeah, he fought big at 185. Yeah.
Right, so I don't know if there's a, like, right. And then there's other dudes that legit walk around that weight. So I think it'd be interesting to see if you could only go like up or down 10 pounds. This obviously wouldn't include heavyweights. Like, they have a wide range. You know what I mean? You weigh 225. Like, I don't know. Well, see, even I don't know. It's tough. I don't know what the rule is and how far you cut or don't cut.
Yeah, well, and that's the question, is 10 pounds from what? Because how do you determine what their normal walking around weight is? You
know, well, most of those guys are in the gym every day, even if they're not in a fight camp. So I feel like their weight stays pretty consistent.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So unless you're weighing them all year, in which case then they just have to always be restricted, you know, to get that, like, oh, here's my base weight. So it just seems tough to, like, I'm with you. I think it'd be a great policy. It seems really difficult to implement.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's just some guys, you're right, that come in as massive guys at this weight where it's like, yeah, you really shouldn't be fighting that guy. Like, he's naturally smaller.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, it's done intentionally too. I mean, I wrestled. It makes a huge, huge difference having 5 to 7 pounds naturally on the guy. I mean, we weighed in the mornings, and, like, you know, by the time you wrestle after school at 4 o'clock, I mean, you could put on 12, 13 pounds.
Yeah. Right. How excited are you when you get to rehydrate? I mean, look at the weigh-ins in the UFC. You ever see those guys? Like, as soon as they get that bottle, they even just water, usually it's got electrolytes or whatever. It looks so refreshing.
Dude, it really does. It's like those Chew 5 gum commercials or whatever. But I know there was a big controversy about, Talon could probably talk about this, but there's a big controversy about whether they should be able to use IVs to rehydrate as well. And I think they might have just stopped that. But obviously that's a great way to do it, to get back, you know, to gain 10 pounds pretty quick.
Yeah, which, as people that have used IVs, that definitely, again, felt like a cheat code when we were at Burning Man.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it changed the game. It's like fluid with salt in it going straight into your bloodstream.
All right, Matt, a personal question. You know, the fall when it comes around, you know, that time of year when you come over to my place, we watch a college football game, some food's being made, and it's kind of like, it's like, all right, this is starting to feel like a holiday.
I love those days.
Sunday after I was down at the beach, Cobb came by, socially distant, and, like, he came in because there was a Sounders game on. He's like, oh, man, like, you're, like, making wings and making a salad. And, like, I was like, it almost feels holiday-ish. I guess my question to you is it just about, like, us being here, or does it have to be different weather?
Oh, the overall vibe?
Yeah.
Sports on TV and food. I mean, I'll say I'm a little envious of Cobb for getting that. And, you know, I think that's because – that same energy that I love that usually takes place in the fall is alive and well.
in July.
Yeah, I think part of it too is just like Cobb was saying, like he had come by and we'd BS or whatever, but I think it was the first time you'd been in my place in months.
Dude, probably since January. Yeah, it was crazy.
So also, Ted,
Matt, you're right. That energy was there. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and it just felt like a holiday. It was just like, holy crap. There's three of us in here spaced out and like there's food being cooked and whatever. Matt, frozen wings in the air, crisper. I did not make them myself like you would. So it wasn't a true holiday.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, that still sounds like an awesome time. Who else was over? You said three of you?
Oh, Sean. Don't. Oh,
okay. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the magic of the combination of Ted and sports and food and like obviously light beer. I don't drink, but it's part of the formula that works. Time tested, reliable, and totally awesome.
Like literally Cobb walks in and I have like two like bowls, like tossing the wings and the sauce. And I'm like fixing a salad. I'm like, good to see you, man. He's like, whoa, I didn't realize we were doing like a thing. It's like, just turned into it. Sit down.
Go Sounders.
Go Sounders. And for a change, they look decent and actually won.
It looked great.
Yeah. I think it helped. The other team was missing a few people, but you know, these things happen. What else did I have on here? Oh, I just wanted to brag for a second. So my buddy texted me the other day in San Francisco. You guys all know my buddy Baird.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, dude, can you go by Linda's and grab this T-shirt? And first he goes, are you going by Linda's anytime soon? I'm like, I can like try to bust my ass and get out of work like early. Are you at Linda's? And he's like, no, man. Like, he's still in San Francisco. Has he moved there? But he's like, my girl really wants this shirt. They're sold out online. Like, can you grab it? And I was like, oh yeah. So I grab it that night on the walk home. And then he's like, what do you want? I was like, give me a shirt from like 21st Amendment, like a cool brewery in San Fran. Either way, I was just bragging as I was so proud of myself. I like walked there that night, took it to the UPS store the next day and sent it. And he was like, why'd you send it so quick? Cause I was like, out of spite. I didn't want you to send me my shirt before I got your girl hers.
Dude,
yeah, that's honestly so goddamn relatable because I feel like we've all just like watched something sit on the edge of our desk for weeks without doing it. For me this year, basically a similar scenario. Somehow, like, I finished my taxes early, which has never happened before. I've filed a 6-month extension the last 8 years, and I usually file them like October 15th. This year, I finished them in January. They sat on my desk until not April 18th or whatever the deadline is, but then the extended deadline hit and then the extended deadline hit like June 15th or whatever, sent them in on the 14th.
Right. That's all. I was just like, you're getting it, Ted. You're sending that T-shirt, man.
Dude, I honestly respect that, man. Major props. Nice work.
All right, Cobb, you got some emails for us?
Yeah. We got a bunch, so I'm sorry to anybody's email that I don't get to. I think, did we have a cop topic that was like, where were you 5 years ago or something like that?
Right, or was it, I think it was looking forward or something. It's something about 5 years. I remember talking about Mike Jones.
What has changed over the last 5 years, maybe? I don't know. 5 years ago, I was horrible with money, was renting a house, and not very consistent with going to work. Not the best husband or father. But now, 5 years later, I have much better work-life balance, better at money management, bought a house, connected more with my wife and kids, and the biggest, started therapy. It's helped a lot finding out issues I never really knew I had. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, man. I you know, I went to see somebody to help me for like 10 years straight. So I mean, you know, that doesn't include childhood. So I'm a huge fan of, I call them mental health days, right? You would go to the gym, take care of your body, like, you got to get a trainer for your mind. Get somebody that, if nothing else, if you go to talk to somebody, there's a room where you're guaranteed nobody will hear what you're saying. So, you know, even if you're in a relationship, you might feel funny telling that person like this thought you had, or, you know what I mean? Do you feel guilty about it? Or is it okay that I have this feeling? Like, you go to talk to a psychologist or a social worker or a mental health expert. Like, sometimes they're not going to tell you what to do. They're just going to listen.
Yeah, and also sometimes saying stuff out loud, I feel like, one, it catalyzes it, right? It makes it real. And two, I think oftentimes it makes it okay. You know, like we all have weird thoughts as humans, like, and our psyche is, you know, very, what's the right word? I don't know, at odds with itself sometimes, very dark in some ways. I think we all have a dark part within us. And so, yeah, I think just saying some of that stuff out loud makes you realize that it's normal and okay. So I don't know. I commend that guy. That's a great email.
Yeah, the movie The Purge wouldn't be so popular if everybody that didn't watch it go, what would I do?
Right, yeah, exactly.
That one, Matt.
Jesus.
S-bomb.
Hola, bicholas, to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'm loving that you guys are keeping the home editions going to keep us all a little sane in these uncertain times. I live in Adelaide, down in the south of Australia. Our state has been fortunate enough to eliminate COVID from transmission, but our neighbors in Victoria and New South Wales have not been as fortunate and now have been placed back into lockdown. As a result, the borders between all the states have been shut down. I understand. Whoa, I didn't know that. I understand it's been chaotic, to say the least, over in your part of the world. Not only the pandemic, but the protests and those related issues. Listening to you describe your current situations and how it is affecting you helps me appreciate how fortunate my current situation is. Even though we have struggles with our baby not being able to spend time with his grandparents as they live interstate, we still have some relative freedoms. Watching live sport and being able to attend some is one of those freedoms. As Ted mentioned, he's getting into Korean baseball and also NASCAR. May I suggest he start to watch the AFL? The Australian Football League. My team is the Adelaide Crows. Nice, dude. I'm St. Kilda. We would be honored to have him as a fan. I believe the AFL is shown on ESPN1. Anyway, cheers again for the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
And I hope you guys are doing well despite the current situation. Cheers. Sean, a.k.a. the flaming, a.k.a. the flaming chooch brewer. P.S. I checked out your popcorn website, Cobb. I'm drooling. Definitely want to try some if I ever get over to Seattle. Dope. Thanks, man.
He's right. I've watched a couple Aussie Rules football matches, and I have a buddy that plays for the team here in Seattle. Or he used to. Not Major League Rugby, but Australian Rules. The problem is, man, Australian Rules football is like American football. Like, it's rugby has a lot of rules, but Australian Rules football has a ton, dude.
It's wild.
It is.
It's also a very violent game.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, that's on now. I watched a little bit of rugby from New Zealand because their country is basically closed off. So they have like people in the stands too.
Yeah, I think they're at zero cases in New Zealand. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Australian rules football is definitely fun. Like I said, I think I've watched a few grand finals just because on the west coast of the United States, they start at like 11 p.m. on like a Saturday night. So it's like, you know me. I've been out of the bars. Like, perfect. Live sport. Let's watch it.
Dude, also, Ted, we talked about this, but I don't think it was on the cast. The Melbourne Cricketing Grounds is a massive venue. It's like, I believe it's bigger than the Big House at Michigan. I mean, it's a huge oval right in, like, downtown Melbourne. Very cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then they have another giant stadium for the same thing called Etihad. So one, the Cobb topic last week was, what are the perks of dating you? What's up, boys?
Oh, yeah.
Perks for dating. Perks for dating me. One, I drive the Zamboni. Two. Yeah, enough said, bro.
Right?
We got it.
You ever had sex on ice? You ever had sex on a Zamboni?
Dude, that's definitely a unique offer to throw out. Two, I can fix your car. Mechanic for 15 years. Three, I can build you a house. Currently a carpenter. Carpenter. Four, I drive a Zamboni. Perks of dating me. Haha. I'm a good cook. I can make most things from scratch. And if you like cars and video games, I'm that guy. Also love watching movies, some food, and chilling. Hit me up. Just kidding. I'm married.
I like everybody's throwing out their best stuff.
Yeah, right?
Like, you like good food? You like movies? Do you want a Netflix, chill, and feed? I got you.
You want it? I got it. Go get it. I'm gone. Hey, boys. I heard you talking about F1 on last week's there's a big motorcycle going by. Hey, boys. Heard you talking about F1 on last week's cast. If you're interested in it, I would recommend the Netflix series Formula One, Drive to Survive. They dive into a lot of behind-the-scenes politics of the F1 world and do a great job of it. LARP on. Jordan, the Canadian beer guy.
Yeah, man, that's the show I was saying. That's what I started watching. That's what got me into it. I did watch the race this Sunday. They come on at like 6 a.m. here on the West Coast.
Dude, weirdly, I got into that show last week. I've seen three episodes now. Sick. And the reason I got into it, aside from Ted incessantly telling me that I would love it, is I watched that documentary, Senna. It's about Ayrton Senna, the Formula One driver. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend. One of the top five documentaries I've seen in my life. But yeah, great show on Netflix.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I like Daniel Ricciardo, because he's like the first guy you meet on that show, the Australian dude.
Yeah, he's from Perth, right?
Is he?
So he's a Western Australia Eagles fan.
All right, yeah. But that's who I'm cheering for. Even though Renault, they haven't been doing that well. But, you know, they'll get there. It's a French car manufacturer, an engine.
Actually, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to ask who the Jack dude is. Ted, do you know that much? I tweeted about golf, and Gregor was like, tweeted at me about some guy in the F1 that just put on a bunch of muscle too. And then I jokingly was like, I'm going to need a shirtless pic. And he literally was like, actually, he just posted this to Instagram 2 days ago. And yeah, there's just some jacked F1 driver. I'm a fan of his, but I don't know his name.
It's tough because most of them are absolutely shredded. They're just not big dudes. Yeah. So I feel like if you're an F1 driver and you put on like 10 pounds of muscle, you would look massive compared to those other guys. And a lot of them are like 20. I mean, they're young dudes.
Are they like jockeys?
Yeah.
No. They're taller. They're just trying to think of another – like.
Yeah, but they're wiry.
They're pretty slender, and that's kind of their build. They're built for endurance in the car, fast twitch, like muscles like that, and like hand-eye coordination. But yeah, like every time you see him working out, it's a lot of different stuff, but not a ton of like moving weights around. Just because, frankly, like you wouldn't want to be that big in that car anyhow.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Also, it's kind of a slap in the face to the guy who spent the last 40 years of his life trying to shave 4 pounds off that car for you to add 10 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know what I mean? Like they're literally like grinding down bumpers and stuff, being like, how little carbon fiber can we put on this to make it track legal?
Yeah, right. God, that's a great call, by the way. That would be a smack in the face to the dude. Like, good news. We got 2.5 pounds off this car. I got better news. I gained weight. In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, and that's you know, shoot, I forgot how I was gonna tie this in. Oh, speaking of Western Australia Eagles, and the guy who wrote in from Australia, another really good documentary is called Such Is Life. It's about Ben Cousins. I would say another probably top five that I've seen, at least top 10. And it's just about his life and career as you know, a standout Aussie rules player, I guess is the most general way to put it.
Yeah, those Aussie rules football guys are studs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, difficult sport, and they have to have, like, the cardio, too. All right, Ted, you want a long one about English football or a long one about the perks of dating somebody?
I mean, how long is the – I mean, my instinct is, like, you got to get soccer, English football.
All right, let's do it. Hey, boys, hope you all are good. As one of the podcast's English representatives, I thought I'd give my knowledge on the low leagues of English football. Rustington FC, the Royal Blood team that Matt mentioned, I believe are in the 9th tier of the English football pyramid. The basic structure is that there are 4 professional leagues, the Prem, Championship, then Leagues 1 and 2. Then you move into what they call non-league football, in which most teams are semi-pro. As you move further down the non-league tiers, there's less and less money. As well as being an Arsenal fan, I follow my local non-league team, Truro City, 7th tier. And my understanding of their payment is that they receive a base of probably 100 or 200 pounds a week and then receive bonuses for goals, assists, etc. So I imagine Rustington FC are similar. Non-league football is some of the most passionate football around. At away games, we can travel 200 miles with only 10 of us, but the community atmosphere between fans and players is second to none. Singing songs and drinking beers for the full 90 minutes. If any of you boys are ever in England, I would definitely recommend watching a game. And if it's a Turo game, I'll buy you a pint. Have a keep up the good work and LARP on. Harvey.
Oh, nice. That's a good write-up. I like that. Yeah, I saw like, you know how like some leagues and stuff, like the Korean Baseball Organization did it. Actually, I think MLB's doing it, where you can buy a cardboard cutout of yourself for like 30 or 40 bucks. and it's somewhere in the stands. So I forget who the club was, but it was like League One football. And the supporter groups got like stand-up cutouts of themselves, like in the section, but like one dude was shirtless, one dude was like waving his scarf, and it, like when you just pan by it, it looked like just chaos, like it normally would. And it's like that was all done by cardboard cutouts. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Dude, that's rad.
All right, well, let's check in with what's Batman. As he takes a sip of water.
Yeah, all right. That's why I was taking it. I knew we were close. Yeah, well, good news. My Rustington FC jersey is on the way. Nice. Very excited about it. So thank you to that emailer for the background. Now I know some stuff. And I just think it's awesome that we got an email from someone in England and someone in Australia on the same episode.
Yeah, like, and did you buy that shirt, or did Ron buy it for you and send it to you?
No, I bought it. Ron just gave me the link. So, yeah, I'm excited for that to show up.
I was going to say, who's our listener in Northern Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah, that all that stuff just blows my mind every time we hear from those guys. So, yeah, thanks for the help in getting that on its way, Ron. Appreciate it. Yeah, this week was cool. On Wednesday, it was Kevin's birthday from Metal Shop, KISW. And, you know, we've been homies for a long time. So the two of us went hiking up to Lake Serene in, I don't even know, out by Gold Bar, kind of.
All right.
And that's a fun hike. There's waterfalls on the way up. And on the way up, I see two dudes with, like, dreadlocks and harem pants spinning poi. And we're up off Highway 2, and Kevin was like, you see those guys? And I was like, there's a non-zero chance I've been at Meltdown with those dudes. So later on the trail, there's another waterfall, and they're there, and we pass them, and I was like, yo, dudes, have you ever been to Summer Meltdown? And the guy takes off his hat and he's like, I got this hat there from one of the vendors, and like had a Meltdown button on it and everything. And
right. You're spinning poi off Highway 2. You've been to Summer Meltdown.
Yeah, I was like, there's no
way. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, so that was, funny. And then they were like, are you going over to the big rock? Because when you get to the top of Lake Serene, if you go up through, like, there's, like, the top part, but you can also go up this, like, higher trail, and it's a little sketchy to get down. But then you, like, traverse this rock bed, and then there's this giant rock that you can climb up that's, like, right in the lake, and it's, like, a 20-foot jump into the lake. And it's super fun, but not everybody knows about it. I think the first time Kevin and I went up there, we just saw people and then found our way over there. And so these guys were like, you going to the big rock? And then we ended up like hanging out up top there for like 45 minutes, and they were awesome dudes. So shout out to Lucas and Dustin. I didn't tell them about this podcast, but I just am proud of myself for remembering their names.
Did they hit you with like where do they camp? Like, have we ever hung out with them before?
No, I don't think so. And it's actually only one of them. His other friend's from Minnesota and was just like in town. But no, I don't think, and last year was his first year.
All right.
But boy, did they look the part. And, yeah, we were mostly just like talking about the hike and the beautiful day and stuff. Meltdown just like broke the ice. And then we were just like quick friends. And so it was fun, like hanging out, and jumping in the water, and God, that water is cold. It is a glacier runoff lake, so makes sense. But yeah, that'll wake you up. So happy birthday to Kevin. That was a lot of fun. And then yeah, another birthday. Yeah. So another one of our friends had a birthday, Nolan, and so a couple of us met up for a few hours, like out up north again. So another birthday celebration outdoors in the woods.
and just had a great time, you know, taking in the outdoors. We just hung out and hadn't seen no one in a while, and his girl was there, so we just all, you know, had a chill outdoor time, you know, plenty of room to social distance, and just like kept it small, and but you know, quality time with friends outdoors. And then yeah, those were probably like the biggest parts of the weekend. But yesterday, Ted, I sent you that picture of my pink Cuisinart knife that I was bringing, that I was bringing with me to a pickup from an order off Facebook Marketplace, because golf balls can go for like $40 a dozen, no problem, brand new. And I saw an ad that said 112 balls for $50. And so I was stoked. I called the guy, and he was just very, very interesting. We just talked like normal about it. And then he's like, yeah, I got all these balls, cash only. And I was like, word? Didn't even like really think anything of it. And he's like, yeah, I don't use smartphones, so I don't have Venmo or PayPal or any of that stuff. I thought I might have brain cancer a while ago. I didn't, but I thought I did, so I still don't use the smartphones. And I was like, dude, I'm just some guy from the internet calling to buy golf balls. Like, how did we get here? And
but wow, Matt, I mean,
5G, man.
You're buying black market golf balls. That's already a very niche thing.
Yeah,
that's definitely what I'm saying. And so
that awkward that he was odd.
Yeah. And it just made it more fun for me. And yeah, I was like, well, I mean, he seemed harmless, a little odd, but harmless and like very friendly. And I appreciate that level of forthcoming authenticity.
How old was he?
So he was probably in his like mid 40s, I would say. And I drive up there, and he's just got his outside, his garage door is open, and he just has milk crates filled with different golf balls, and is like, oh, you wanted the yellow Bridgestone E-Series, and like shuffles through a couple milk cartons and just pulls out this milk carton filled with yellow. It was a very organized system this guy had. Said he had 30,000 golf balls in there.
Oh my God. Who the hell has 30,000? That's having 30,000 golf balls sitting in your garage. That's a red flag.
That guy was thinking this dude works at a golf course and thinking he's blatantly just like ripping off a store.
Yeah, seriously, did all those fall off the back of a truck? I feel like this guy's going to send us an email like, the perks of dating me, I have 30,000 golf balls in my garage.
Right? So based on all that, I was like, I'm not asking this guy questions where these came from. Like,
no,
this feels like an underground deal. And then on the way home, I called one of my golfing buddies because I was so excited. And, you know, we love golf, but, you know, we talk about how golf balls are so expensive. And so I was like, dude, I got 100 for $50. This guy slangs them out of his garage. I saw a Facebook Marketplace ad. And my dude's like, was his name blank? And I was like, oh, my God. And my buddy,
convicted rapist. Just kidding.
No, he is. My buddy's actually met him at one of the golf courses, and he was in full scuba gear in the one of the ponds, swimming down and getting balls. And you know, that's like what these courses do. There's like legit, you know, like that's how they get it out. And I don't know what the organization is, but
I don't think that's what the word legit means.
Cash handshake deals for secondhand golf balls.
I mean, the course hires him. I mean, they can't be paying him much, but I like the deal. We'll hire you to get in scuba gear, get all the golf balls, and you can keep them.
Yeah, I don't know the exact workings. I talked to my dad about it earlier because he know, and he thinks that the guy pays the course and then makes that money back selling the golf balls for 50 cents a pop in my case. And so I don't know how it works, but I'm stoked. I got a golf ball guy, golf ball dealer. If anybody wants some, he told me to tell my friends. So like, get a hold of me. I'm not going to give his info out earlier, but he did give me a flyer, complete with a couple spelling errors and like pen adjustments. And it was just the best. So that was like totally the highlight of my week.
Hey, look, it's a sales pitch. I don't even play golf, but I'm like, yo, I need a bag of 50, right? It's just like, well, if you can get it, I'll take some. I'd rather have than want.
We got bulk discounts, dog.
All right. I think it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Cobb topic this week, not a lot of pomp and circumstance this one. Basically, I feel like the last like three or four books that I've started have really sucked. I've been thirsty for new reads. So my question this week, and feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com, is what's the best book you've read in the last couple of years or in your life, and why? So what's the best book you've read and why? And you can choose the time period, but you know, obviously, if it's been a while, then c'est la vie. But yeah, so feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com, or hit up Matt on Twitter at thepodcast. What do we got, boys?
Oh man, I can't tell you. I haven't read a whole book in years.
Copy. MC?
Well, the most impactful, and I actually get a lot of messages from people like, what was the name of that book that you read that you stopped drinking with? It was called The Easy Way to Stop Drinking. By Alan Carr. I read the third edition. There's some new editions with different titles, but I can't vouch for those, you know, and you can find the third edition used out there. So that's the most impactful for sure. But probably my favorite book is one called Wonderland Avenue. It's by this guy, Danny Sugarman, who managed the surviving members of the Doors and Iggy Pop and stuff. So it's just this tale of excess and rock and roll and like crazy LA debauchery over decades, like right in the heart of all sorts of just drug fueled chaos, which is like right up my alley. It's a page turner. It's insane. I was very like, I related to the early parts of his life. At that point, I saw what he did, and he wound up with a $500 a day heroin habit. So it
Jesus.
It was a cautionary tale for me when I read it, but it's a page turner. It's a great read in as a cautionary tale. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I read that in high school, and I was like making some sketchy choices back then. So I think that kind of gave me an idea of like how far I didn't want to take things.
Yeah, I would say on that note, The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx.
That was good.
That's a pretty interesting read too.
Yeah, that one was really good. Did you read The Dirt?
You know what? I haven't read that. I've seen the movie, but
I like that a lot too. Yeah, I haven't thought about Wonderland Avenue in a while, but it was awesome. I mean, he has a bad acid trip at school in high school and leaves class and goes to the Doors office. Jim Morrison is there. Jim Morrison says, like, hey, come with me, man. Like, obviously knows he's tripping too hard and, like, takes him in his car, drives him through the Malibu Canyons as he's, like, tripping balls on acid and just, like, the idea of driving through Malibu with Jim Morrison, like what, when you're having a bad trip as a teenager, is just the most, it's just, there's all sorts of insane stuff. If you like, you know, debaucherous, like rock and roll books, like I'm a sucker for, Wonderland Avenue is like one of the lesser known ones that I really enjoyed.
Dude, that's sick. Mine are pretty basic. I would say Elephant in the Brain was really good. Maybe a couple of years ago, I liked that book, 12 Rules for Life. But yeah, I'm interested to hear what people have to say. Realistically, kind of like the app question we did a couple of weeks ago, which a couple of those apps I downloaded and loved. Thank you, everybody. I'm just looking for new, cool book suggestions, so I'm just using it for my own purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it counts as a book, but you know, I still read Sports Illustrated.
There we go.
Just because I'm old and I like to hold something while I'm pooping.
You get Playboy for the articles, right?
all the time. all right, there we go. Yeah, next week we're back. I got a couple more weeks before I got a summer vacay coming up, so we're good to go. Main thing, hey, get out there, man. Enjoy the damn summer. Finally, look, I'm generally not summer guy. It finally showed up. Pop the top, take the shirts off, go swimming in a lake, go swimming in some salt water. Just
let's go.
Enjoy it, boys. All right, there you go. For MCTP, for Cobb, me, Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.